there now. Isn't it nice to have all the bishop plunge and appeal stuff out of the way? And now there's enough time for a homily still, albeit a little bit abbreviated. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it by focusing on the single most important line of all the readings that you heard this morning. Forgive, and you will be forgiven, says the Lord. Most of us know that we stand badly in need of God's forgiveness. Personally, I would say that if God is not gentle in judging my soul at the hour of death, I'm not going to make it. I'll tell you that right now. Most of us know that we need God's mercy. And you know, this is a point, an aside worth mentioning, that one of the saddest consequences of sin is the darkening of the mind, such that the more you sin, the less you realize that you need God's forgiveness. It's a terrible consequence. The more you sin, and the worse you sin, the more you begin to believe that you don't have anything at all that needs to be forgiven. And when this reaches its very worst cases, you'll find people that are actually proud of the wrong that they're doing. And these are the ones who are most in need of God's mercy. These are the ones we need to pray for the very most. However, I'm going to trust that if you come to Mass on a chilly February at 7:30 in the morning, right, you are probably among those who know how badly you need God's forgiveness. And I've got good news for you here this morning. God's forgiveness is on offer and in abundance. However, the whole thing hangs on one very critical hook. You will be forgiven only as much as you forgive other people. You know, it's a kind of holy blackmail when you think about it. And we say this every time we say the Our Father. Are you aware of this? When we say the Our Father, we all pray. Most people just mindlessly pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, and we think that means, yeah, Lord, you know, forgive me my sins because, you know, I forgive people sometimes. Yeah. What we're actually saying to God with those very words are, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And here's a ruler. Here's a yardstick, Lord. And I want you to measure off just how much I forgive other people of my sins, of their sins. And I want you to forgive me of that much and that much only and no more. It's really a terrible thing to say. But there is no forgiveness offered on any other terms. That's just how important this subject is. But there's a problem with forgiveness. In fact, there's two problems with forgiveness. Here's the first. The first problem with forgiveness is you cannot understand what the word means until you yourself have something you need to forgive. Until someone has hurt you, injured you, stolen from you, broken your property, or worse yet, done any of these things to someone who you love, until you yourself have been violated, you're not even qualified to start talking about forgiveness, because until it's personal, it's a lovely abstraction. Yeah, everybody should forgive. I'm highly in favor of forgiveness. Don't start talking about it until the moment someone hurts you. Only then are you qualified to start speaking. That's the first problem with forgiveness. Second problem with forgiveness is even bigger. The second problem with forgiveness is that almost everybody thinks that forgiveness is an emotion. And I mean almost 100% of the people, and I've dealt with this as a priest over and over and over again, people think forgiveness is a feeling, such that if they still have bad feelings towards somebody who hurt them, they think they haven't forgiven. Or if a memory from the past, something that they thought they'd forgiven, comes racing back to the forefront of your mind, and it's like you've been hurt all over again just in the memory, they think they haven't forgiven. And I wish I could write this on the sky. It's just that important. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice. It is a decision. Pope John Paul II once said, "Mercy is love's other name." And like love, it is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. And like love, forgiveness is something you have to practice over and over and over again, sometimes for the very same offense. Forgiveness doesn't mean you've forgotten. And people say, "Hey, wait a minute, Father, now, doesn't the Bible somewhere say forgive and forget? You know, I could have sworn that was in the Psalms or something like that, maybe the book of Proverbs. Forgive and forget, that's in the Bible, right?" Would it surprise you to learn that forgive and forget isn't anywhere in the Bible? You know where that phrase comes from? It comes from Don Quixote, okay? It comes from Miguel de Cervantes. God never commanded you to forgive and forget because God doesn't command what's impossible. There are some things you will never forget, and it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. Forgiveness also does not mean that your relationship is now somehow perfectly healed, and it doesn't mean you now trust the other person again. It doesn't mean that, so stop putting impossible pressures on yourself. And one of the most important things to mention about forgiveness is this. Forgiveness does not mean there is not justice for what was done, because there's always justice. Do you know that? It's only a question of who pays the price, but there's always justice. Let me give you an example. Let's pretend that I smashed your car. Now, I didn't smash your car, but let's just pretend, okay? And let's further pretend that you've forgiven me for smashing your car. And all is well, except that all is not well, because there's still a big problem left. Who is going to pay the repair bill? Now, in all justice, I should pay the repair bill because I'm the one that did the smashing. But maybe you're in a really generous mood and you decide to pay the repair bill yourself. Either way, there's a bill to be paid. Either way, there's always justice. So don't think that forgiveness doesn't mean justice. One of my favorite examples of all of history is this. Some of us here are old enough to admit to remembering the day that Pope John Paul II survived an assassination attempt in St. Peter's Square from a gunman at point-blank range. Pope miraculously survived, gunman went to prison. And then John Paul II shocked the world by going to visit his assailant, his gunman, his would-be assassin in prison to forgive him for trying to take his life. Shocked the world. Do you want to notice one thing? Even though the Pope forgave him for what he did not insist that he be set free from prison, right? Because forgiveness always entails justice. Don't ever think that it doesn't. Forgiveness means one thing and one thing only. Forgiveness means I do not hold this offense against you. I choose to move on. I will not hold this against you in how I speak. I will not hold this against you in how I act. And I even won't hold this against you in how I choose to think in the privacy of my own thoughts. I'm moving on. That's what forgiveness means, and that's what we want God to say to us for the wrongs that we've done. But you know, there's one more thing about forgiveness that deserves mention, and it's the question of fairness. Somebody once really threw me off my guard when they asked me, "Why does God want us to forgive other people? Why? Wouldn't it make more sense if God wanted us to get even? Wouldn't that be more fair?" It's a question that deserves mention. Why does God want us to forgive other people? The very simple and short answer is this. Forgiveness is the only path to healing. No, you can look for the rest of your life and you will never find another path to healing your soul. Forgiveness is the only way. God wants you to be healed. In fact, you could say there's three reasons why God wants us to forgive. The first is forgiveness is the only antidote to bitterness. One of my favorite stories, I know I mentioned this before, but it's a powerful one. It's a true story and happened right here in our area. about a young girl, school-age girl, who was brutally murdered. And I won't go into all the details of her brutal murder because it doesn't matter. But the fact is, it made the news. It was an absolutely terrible crime. And her grieving parents were sitting at home when one day they heard a knock at the door. A man who had seen the news wanted to speak to these poor grieving parents. And he told them, "The reason why I want to talk to you is because my daughter was killed too, in a terrible crime. And I need to tell you what it did to me. I was absolutely consumed with hatred, consumed with rage. All I wanted was revenge. And it almost wrecked my life. It cost me my friends, it cost me my job, it cost me my savings, it almost cost me my health, it almost cost me my life. Until I realized the only way out was to forgive. And as hard as it might seem, I want to tell you, that's the only way out for you too. Unforgiveness is the punishment that innocent people inflict upon themselves for the crime of the guilty. They say it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die as a consequence. It's a very difficult pill to swallow, but it's a simple fact. Unless you want to live the rest of your life in bitterness and anger, your only way out is forgiveness. It's healing. And God wants you to be healed. That's the first reason God wants us to forgive. Here's the second. The second reason that God wants us to forgive is that the person who did the crime deserves a second chance. And people need to know they've been forgiven. Now, at first blush, people will hear something like that and they'll say, "No, violent criminals and assailants and people who do terrible crimes, they should all die like pigs in hell. No forgiveness for them, no second chance." A lot of people say that. They dehumanize all others who have done wrong and write them off. Until the day arrives in which they themselves are badly in need of forgiveness, and only then do they understand. Until someone tells you, "You're forgiven," it's like you're a prisoner. And this is part of the beauty of confession, by the way. It's the most psychologically healthy thing you can possibly do is to open up and say out loud what you've done wrong and to hear a real human being say back to you in words you can hear and understand, "I forgive you for what you've done." Why does God want us to forgive? Because everybody deserves a second chance. That's why. And you know, the third reason God wants us to forgive, it's high and rare. Reason God wants us to forgive is because we ought to act like God would act. And God forgives. It's been said that there's three levels to morality. You ever heard this before? Three levels to morality. Here's the lowest level of morality. It goes something like this. You shouldn't hit people because they might hit you back. Why shouldn't we hit people? Why shouldn't we steal? Why shouldn't we rob and murder? Because somebody might do it back to you. That's why. Not the most exalted level of morality in the world, but you know, it's a moral code. It's something. But there's a higher level of morality, and it goes something like this. We shouldn't hit people because, you know, there's a principle involved. It's not fair to hit people, and we should all live up to this principle. A higher principle. What kind of a world do you want to live in? A world where people hit each other all the time or not, right? That's a higher level of morality, but it's not the highest. The third and the highest level of morality is very high and rare, and it's easy to say, but it's really hard to intuit. And that is that we should act like God would act. You're a child of your Heavenly Father, and you're bound to act like it, to ask the question, "What would Jesus do?" And that is why we should forgive, because God himself does so and commands us to be holy as he himself is holy. So forgive, and you will be forgiven. The older I get, the more I realize just how important those words are. In fact, those words are so important that I can say this. If you remember nothing else that you've ever heard in church for the rest of your life, please let it be this. Blessed are those who are merciful. Mercy shall be theirs. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. It's your ticket to heaven, because the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. Amen.